This episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks is brought to you by the Mason Jar, New York City. The Mason Jar is the official Gamecock bar for the New York City area. Fans and alumni of USC can come by the jar for some great barbecue, cold drinks, and of course, to watch the Gamecocks in any sport, all while surrounded by South Carolina memorabilia. If you want to get a slice of game day in Columbia all while in the Big Apple, head to the Mason Jar on East 30th Street. All right, here we go. Welcome to episode 102 of Cox Talking Gamecocks, brought to you by the Mason Jar, New York City. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And I wish everyone had a lovely Halloween. I feel bad on the last episode, which aired on Halloween. I didn't wish y'all a happy, safe, fun Halloween. You know, I don't know about y'all, but I ate my weight in Skittles and Reese's. Reese's is just a top-tier A1 candy. I don't care what anyone says, but it's been a fun week outside of that. Never a dull moment in the life of a Gamecock fan. It's been a crazy week with a lot of fans, including myself, just glued to press conferences from coaches, players, everything like that. You had people on Twitter making their profile pictures all the same thing, a very distinct call to action. It's just been a hectic week for a Gamecock fan. For anyone who is on social media and follows a lot of Gamecock accounts, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And if not, now you know. It's been one heck of a week. But, you know, in terms of the football team specifically, it's sad to say, I'm choking back tears, y'all. It's the last full month of the regular season. And, you know, whether times are good, bad, most of the times they're somewhere in between, this is by far the best time of year for a Carolina fan. And no matter what this team is going through, I personally am going to get excited for Carolina football, and I'm going to soak in every minute of it. So although it's been a bit of a roller coaster the last week or so, it's still the best time of year, and I would never wish football season to be over. So collectively, just take a step back, breathe it in, four more games. Let's go. And of course, I will get into my pregame analysis in just a bit. But first, we have a very busy week in review from around Gamecock Athletics, starting with on Monday, the women's basketball team. That's right. They had an exhibition game against Benedict and won by a score of 123-32. I'm trying not to laugh because that would be rude. But yeah, 123-32. Their season kicks off Monday. That's right. This upcoming Monday, women's basketball takes on East Tennessee State, and the championship defense is officially underway. That is very exciting. Way to go, girls. Dawn Staley going to lead the team back. I got a feeling in my bones. Tuesday, men's soccer lost to Kentucky 0-3. That's all right, guys. And then the women's soccer team, they beat Ole Miss 3-0 to advance to the Final Four in the SEC Championship. How about that? Been talking about women's soccer team for the last couple weeks now. They're getting it done. I believe they're the number 2 seed in that tournament, so best of luck rest of the way, ladies. Wednesday, women's volleyball lost to Arkansas 0-3. That's all right, girls. And then also on Wednesday, the men's basketball team had an exhibition game against Mars Hill University. I don't know. I've never heard of that school before. Just simply Mars Hill. All right. Hill named after Mars. And they won 80-41. And their season starts Tuesday against South Carolina State. So it's going to be a lot of fun having football, women's basketball, men's basketball all going on at the same time. I will, of course, keep y'all in the loop with previews and post-game updates. But if you were following along the podcast last year at this same time, the priority is going to remain with football, just given you're coming down the home stretch. A lot of weight is on these games to see how it's going to shake up. Early season basketball, maybe a little less weight in those games. But of course, going to still go into the details of that. But the bulk of coverage will remain with football. And then once that season ends, I will, of course, go into more in-depth coverage on both basketball teams and then the other sports that are going on as well. But with that said, that brings me to the preview segment for Carolina football. The Gamecocks are taking on the Vanderbilt Commodores Saturday night, 7:30 p.m. SEC Network in Nashville. Carolina back on the road for the first time in a couple of games. It feels like it's been a while just with the back-to-back home games and then the bye week thrown in there. So going to the notorious, scary, and incredibly noisy and intimidating stadium in Vanderbilt. LOL, if you could not pick up on my thick level of sarcasm. I mean, there very well may be more South Carolina fans in the stands than Vanderbilt students in their student section. I think enough Gamecocks are going to make the trip to make an impact there. It's just not the most intimidating place to play in Nashville. But Carolina enters this game as a 7-point favorite. But all kidding aside, this is a must-win game. Period. This is a must-win game, and, you know, I'm stressed because of it. You know, I'm not going to rehash what happened last week, but this team cannot afford to have Missouri beat them twice. Just like us fans can't let that loss impact our support. Gamecocks are sitting at 5 wins with 4 games to play and are still vying for bowl eligibility and the possibility of improving on last win's total. That is still very much possible with this last month of the season. The last 2 games of the year are going to be incredibly challenging. So if you're looking at winnable games for the rest of the year, it's this matchup against Vandy and then possibly Florida as well, but obviously Vanderbilt is more winnable than the rest of them, honestly. But again, what you can't afford is to take Vanderbilt lightly, thinking that we can roll in there with no problem because, one, they showed last year they can hang with us, if you remember that heart attack of a game. And then, number two, we need to get that 6th win as soon as possible so these guys can play loose the rest of the way. Something we can't afford is to be playing tense and then have this extra pressure of a bowl game and all that jazz. Just get it done as soon as you can this weekend and move on. But what is South Carolina looking at in Vandy? Vanderbilt right now is 3-5 overall, 0-4 in the SEC, but this is not the same Vanderbilt that we have become accustomed to. And it's just saying that, even it just feels weird to say, like, to think that Vanderbilt might be on the up is just, it's weird. Like, this is a weird preview. I gotta like be serious about these guys because we have to, but it's Vanderbilt. I don't know. They've played some close games in the SEC. They hung with Ole Miss for like a half and then, you know, nearly beat Mizzou 2 weeks ago. They are coming off a bye. They played, I think, week 0, so they had 2 bye weeks, one of those wacky schedules. So you got to imagine that they are fresh, maybe a bit more prepared, things like that. But again, in that very same breath, like their season and their stats, that when you look at them, they're really nothing to break a sweat over. Offensively, they're scoring nearly 27 points per game, which is largely anchored by some very big non-conference wins early in the year since they've entered league play. They have not scored 27 points a game. And defensively, they are giving up almost 37 points per game. So nothing that I'm really shaking in my boots about, but brings me to my crows to the game. What does Carolina have to do here? For any new listeners, I don't do keys to the game. We have our rooster crow. I have my crows to the game. So overall for the team, my crow is play with a clean slate. It's a whole new month. What happened last week, last month, earlier this season cannot impact this game. It's a brand new slate. Go out there and play to the ability that you know you can. Go out there and try to overwhelm this Vanderbilt team early and often with our just talent and tenacity and our physicality. Side note, you know, a special teams play would be nice. If we could throw that in, Beamer ball would be, that'd be nice. You know, that'd be a nice crow to the game to add there as a side note. But on the offensive side of the ball, my first crow to the game is keep Jaheim Bell involved. Notice I didn't say get him involved, but I said keep him involved. I don't doubt that we're going to see him featured early in the game. Satterfield has heard it. I'm sure Beamer has told Satterfield, but Beamer has seen it, talked about it, said, I know we have to get this guy involved. So I don't doubt that he's going to be involved early in the game. But Satterfield has had weird tendencies this year and beyond to drastically change course or abandon a plan altogether. And it's possible that Vanderbilt game plans for Bell, but Sat needs to stay stubborn with it. And at a minimum, keep him on the field. Have a very high snap count. He's a guy that should have been used much more creatively this year. I can't go backwards. I can't get upset about how he has been misused and mistreated this year on the football field. Let this game be an actual jumping off point for Jaheim Bell. Line him up all over the field and just make sure he gets the ball in his hands. I'm sure they're going to do the crazy thing where you put him as a running back. That's fine. Do that a couple of times. Put him out as a wide receiver. If you need a blocking tight end in the game, put Nate Adkins in there or Austin Stogner. Ask Jaheim Bell, hey, do you know the route on the X receiver here? Do you know how to run that? He'll say yes. Great. You're out there. I don't care. Just keep this guy on the field for crying out loud. My goodness gracious. Shouldn't be that hard. Second crow to the game here for the offense is just air it the fudge out. Just air it the F out. You know, I sort of asked for this before the last game, but Vandy's pass defense is garbage. Garbage. They're giving up 317 yards per game through the air, and it would be stupid of us to not take advantage of that. You know, all we've talked about and heard about this year is the amount of playmakers on our offense. And it's been this embarrassment of riches that this great offensive mind just cannot figure out how to get the ball to everyone's hands. Well, guess what? It's everyone's time to shine now. Spencer needs to stay aggressive. Stay in your moment. Be aggressive with the reads. Stay smart. Let the offense flow with good timing throws. The proof is in the pudding. The numbers are there. You need to take advantage of that. Getting all excited over here. Moving on to the defense, my first crow to the game is the stars have to shine, right? Now, I get it. It's easy for me to say that our best players need to play well. But yeah, those guys are the leaders, and they have to make sure that the defense keeps an edge and plays fast and physical. You know, Devonnie Reed said something in his press conference this week where he talked about that maybe early on in the game last week, some of the guys didn't come out as physical as they could have been. So it's on our stars and our leaders to keep the guys in the zone. You know, in the defensive backfield, Cam Smith and Darius Rush, they're going to have a tall task going against the top wide receiver on Vandy, a guy named Will Shepard. He has 8 touchdowns so far this year. He's a bit of a taller guy, and he can pose trouble in the red zone, so those guys absolutely have to lead by example. Second crow to the game on defense is swarm to the ball. Last week, we saw several plays where it essentially looked like the play was dead after a small game, but ended up being much more. That can be the byproduct of a few things, right? But one way to stop it is by having your defense swarm to the ball carrier, gang tackling, have him on the ground, and not letting up an inch. This defense has played well, especially as of late, and has shown the ability to adapt within the game and clamp down, and we are going to need more of the same in that, right? Additionally, my third crow to the game here is getting off the field early in the game. This is for the defense, right? In all of these big matchups, a major factor in Carolina's success was keeping the opponent off the scoreboard early. Now, while Vanderbilt doesn't have a potent offense, at least as much that we've seen some of the teams we've played, this is absolutely going to need to be the case this game. If we can keep Vandy off the boards for the first 3 drives or so, I think that could shape up very well for the Gamecocks. But overall for this game, y'all, you know, it's, I kind of already said it, like it's kind of funny to prepare for, right? Like on one hand, this Gamecocks team has very little room for error the rest of the year. And for Shane Beamer to get to back-to-back bowl games this Saturday, this is clearly the best opportunity he has for the rest of the season. So you have to take it incredibly serious. You know, again, Vandy is improved from years past. Regardless of how lackluster their crowd may be, it's still a road game in the SEC, and you have to plan accordingly. But, you know, on the other hand, like, this isn't Alabama that we're talking about. Like, this is Vanderbilt. South Carolina has had their number for over a decade. What's it, 13 years in a row? And when you look at the schedule, you always feel confident about this matchup. So it comes at a very critical time in South Carolina's season this year. And the team, you know, while the team may not be hitting their stride as we thought they may have been going into this matchup, the fact is, like, Vandy is still a team with a lot of holes on their roster, a lot of youth at big positions, and just overall less resources than your average SEC program. So when you look at this matchup, my gut says that Carolina matches up well. My gut has been wrong before. It's filled up with chicken wings and too much beer. But the point is that, like, we match up well, physically, talent-wise, hoping and praying that Marshawn Lloyd is a full participant. If so, Vandy is going to be staring at a whole world of matchup issues. Even without Lloyd, God forbid that's the case, we have talented players in the backfield, CBS and Juju. And then on defense, I think this group is going to come in reinvigorated, not going to underestimate that Vandy unit. And then also, you know, when you look at the season and a half that Shane Beamer has been the head coach, he usually has had his team ready to play after a tough loss, and he's found the ability to motivate his team to bounce back. You know, it wasn't the case real early in the year, week 2 to 3, but it's kind of a unique situation. But every other time, Beamer has had the ability to get his team to bounce back, right? So the name for the name of the game for the Gamecocks this week is just win, baby. Just win. I don't care if it's by 1 point. Just go up there, notch a win, secure a bowl bid, and get the hell out of Nashville. I mean, really. You know, of course I would love to see massive games out of a few players and go up there and win by 17 points or something like that. But I'm just not getting caught up in the details right now. I want to see this team in a bowl game for a second year in a row, first and foremost. We got our issues, sure, but we have who we have, and we have the plays that we have. So go up there, execute well. We've seen this team handle big moments this year lately. So go up there and do it again. Let's go, Cox. Which brings me to my six pack of picks for this weekend. Any new listeners, I pick six games from the weekend. Starting with the ACC, UNC -7 at UVA. That game is at noon. UVA has played teams close, but UNC is sneakily having a good year. I think they get it done. Big 12, Texas at Kansas State, over 54.5. Both teams have been seeming to score a lot. That game is at 7 p.m. Pac-12, Oregon at Colorado, over 63. That game is at 3:30. If you have a minute, go look at Oregon's season. Like, they put up 40 points like it's nobody's problem. So you're just asking Colorado to chip in a little bit. Big 10, Maryland +5 at Wisconsin. That game is at noon. And then in the SEC, it's going to be a game that the whole country is watching. Tennessee at Georgia, 3:30 matchup. I'm taking Tennessee +7.5. I was surprised they were getting more than a touchdown. I know Georgia has had a really good defense. I know that Georgia's at home. I mean, I would not be surprised if Tennessee gets this win, but if they don't, I think it's real close. So getting the points there, I'm going to take it. Group of five, give me JMU at Louisville over 52.5. Louisville, they either score a lot or a little. I'm going with a lot. JMU, they just tend to score a lot at the whole time. But with that, that wraps up this episode, y'all. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review to the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.